episode of Digital Coffee Gaming Brew, and I'm your host, Brett Dice here. You can please subscribe to this podcast and all your favorite podcasting apps. Leave a 5-star review. It really does help with the rankings. Let me know how I am doing. But this week we're going to be talking about PC global shipments. That's going to be a fun one to deal with. Steam's accessibility, new options or features it's going to be adding with it. It's going to be interesting. Discord has a new CEO. Talk about the impact of that. Razer and its two new mice, the ProClick V2 and the ProClick V2 Vertical Edition. Yeah, there's two different ones. Talk about a little bit about Elder Scrolls Oblivion Remastered. And we're going to be talking about the RoboCop Rogue City. Basically, there is a release date on this one. The RoboCop game is actually really good. Also, developer 11-Bit Studio and its new Frostpunk game. Talk about a little bit of how Lords of the Fallen 2.0 is actually really, really good. And you should see if it is something for you to play. And, well, your motherboards are going to go up in price again. We're going to talk about that. And then why your target audience, this is my main thing, is male and why gaming is specifically male. And we're going to talk about that and why feminism and the gaming industry does not mix at all and why it should be eradicated from the gaming industry in general. So let's get on with it. That's good. All right. Hope you guys are all having a very good Friday and looking forward to the weekend. But it looks like global PC shipments grew 6.7% year over year in Q1 of 2025. Reaching 61.4 million units, according to Counterpoint's research preliminary data. The growth was driven by PC vendors accelerating shipments ahead of anticipated U.S. tariffs and increasing adoption of AI-enabled PCs, coinciding with the end of Windows 10 support. Yes, this shout out to Windows 10 is because it's still better than Windows 11, even though I have Windows 11. Not as good. Not going to lie. Inventory levels are expected to stabilize in the coming weeks, suggesting that the surge of shipments may be temporary. The anticipated U.S. tariffs are expected to dampen growth momentum in 2025. Apple and Lenovo reporting strong performances, with Apple experiencing a 17% year-over-year growth due to its AI-enabled M4-based MacBook series, and Lenovo achieving 11% growth through its expansion in AI-enabled PCs. Lenovo held the largest market share during the quarter. HP and Dell reported 6 and 4% year-over-year growth, respectively, and maintained their second and third position in the market. Other major brands also experienced pull-ins ahead of tariffs uncertainty, leading to further market share consolidation among major brands. And this is what we're going to be seeing. I mean, next one we talk about is probably going to be just as a big issue with it, but we're going to be seeing this happening quite a bit. We're going to be seeing a huge expansion, or it was a huge shipment growth. I mean, Apple just basically flew in 5 planefuls of iPhones. It is going to be one of those we're shipping in as much as we can now because it's going to hurt us eventually, unless China and US go into the table, and specifically China goes to the table and actually stops playing the games that they've been playing for so long, because US politicians have been stupid with making deals with China. Like I said, this is a band-aid that needed to be ripped off probably about 20 years ago and wasn't, because of stupid politicians and bad trade deals. You not have a country basically dictating your critical infrastructures and how much you get. We dealt with this with COVID, and now we're going to deal with this with tech until things stabilize and we get it more towards here or more friendly countries. Because if US goes to war with China, we are cut off, and that is not a good thing. And this is kind of the bitter pill we have to take to really understand what we should be doing to make sure that we, when this does happen, we are insulated from critical infrastructure's not getting towards us because we rely on tech on everything, including defense, including AI and everything else. And if you leave it to solely one country to manufacture for the rest of the world, you are hurting your own country. Do not care what you think of this president. It is a very bitter pill to take if we do not change things around. And that means getting precious materials from other countries, making good trade deals for that, and making sure that the West is strong against China. That's the whole thing about this. Is it sucks that everything's going up? Of course. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. Even the ones in favor of, like me, do not like that everything is going up. But it is an imperative to make sure that we insulate ourselves from any terrible things that might come in the future, because we are betting on the future that China will eventually go to war with the West, specifically the United States. So it is imperative that we start building things here and not giving China the competitive edge to just cut us off at the knees and we can't even do anything. We can't even make much of anything without China right now. Which leads me into major motherboard vendors, including Asus, MSI, and Gigabyte, reportedly planning to increase the prices of their motherboards. Since 2020, the average selling price of Intel motherboards has risen by 40% compared to pre-pandemic levels. AMD motherboards have experienced a 35% increase in average selling price during the same period. The motherboard market has recently begun to recover. This is the unfortunate issue with the pandemic has not helped anything. The previous administration in the U.S. being just incompetently stupid about inflation. And now we're blaming this administration for the inflation that we incurred previously because we overspent on things and we didn't actually save anything. So here's where we're at. Things are going to go up again. Is it this president's fault that they're going up? Yes, to a certain extent, yes. But from 2021 to 2024, or I should say January 2025, it was under the Biden administration's issue of how much it has increased, and everything has increased. Now, with the tariffs and everything, that is actually laid, the blame is on Trump for that specific thing. The price of eggs were not. This, yes. You lay the blame on what they actually are currently doing, not from their previous things that they haven't done. So, will prices go down? It depends on the deal, and it depends on how quickly we can get up those infrastructures in tech. I know TSMC does have a foundry in Arizona. I do know that they're trying to get them more to build there, which is fine and which should happen. But right now, it is going to hurt. Hands down, it is going to hurt everybody. Nobody is liking this pinch. But like I said, I think it's necessary. Unfortunately, we're going to see prices of GPUs games because Nintendo decided that the Switch 2 games needed to be $80 to $90 each one. Stupid idea. And hardware. Hardware is going to go up. Everything that we liked that was not very expensive is now going to be expensive. It is the nature of the beast. We are not going to get out of this for the foreseeable future. I do not know what business deals are happening, but it is now China versus US, the West versus the East type of the situation here. So we'll see what deals come up. We'll see what cooler heads actually do, what shrewd businessmen actually do, and if it actually pays off, great. If it doesn't, well, we're going to be in a world of pain. All right, moving on to Steam. Steam is introducing accessibility tags to assist disabled players in finding games with inclusive features, or just features that help them. I hate the inclusive inclusive does not actually mean what inclusive is. So it's just features that will help people that are disabled to play games, which I'm in favor of. Developers can now use the new questionnaire in Steamworks to describe how their game supports accessibility. The questionnaire includes options for adjustable difficulty, text size, color alternatives, high contrast, speech to text, text to speech, custom volume controls, and narrated game menus. Late this year, Steam will allow users to search for games based on specific accessibility features. Accessibility options will be displayed in the sidebar of the store page. Valve stated that they have gathered feedback from developers and gamers with disabilities to improve the experience of Steam. The new tags differ from those introduced by the ESA's Accessibility Game Initiative, which could potentially cause confusion, as noted by consultant Steve Sayer. Or you could just follow what Steam's doing. Recent UK Technology Secretary Peter Kyle criticized Steam for hosting a sexually explicit visual novel that included themes of non-consensual sexual contact and violence. Following the criticism, developer Xerox Games announced it would withdraw its visual novel from Steam after it was removed from sale in several countries. Now, look, I'm not actually defending this because, well, that type of a sexual assault is never warranted or good for society as a whole. However, UK, seriously, you guys had grooming gangs that raped young women. You have an issue with your immigration. You have immigrants that don't follow your Western morals. And now you're criticizing this? Not the best look, Europe. Europe, you have issues with your immigration. You have issues with people coming into your countries that do not follow your rules or laws, and you let them do it. And then you're saying a game is actually worse than what you're actually dealing with when you guys sweep it under the rug. So I don't even want to hear this from pompous idiots like Peter Kyle, who should worry more about his citizens, especially the women, the white women getting raped. Stupid. Politicians is like, look it over here. We'll just not really deal with our actual issues. We'll deal with this technology issues that, well, maybe a paid game so you can pay for it or not. And maybe it is a top seller. I don't know. I didn't even really know about it until the controversy, which is funny because every time there's a controversy in a game, guess what? The popularity goes up, which basically means more people want to buy it. And then when you start to ban it, more people want to buy it. So instead of actually creating a hubbub about it, you could have just ignored it. Probably would have gone away. But no, we must fight the injustice of games being horrible to a certain subset of gamers that enjoy it. But let's ignore the actual real issues in our country, because that works out well. All right, moving on to Discord. And Discord has hired a new CEO, and I'm not even going to actually say his name because I'll butcher it. Or I'll try it. It's Human Sakhini. Sounds Indian, but the current CEO will be now board of the directors, and the announcement was made on April 24th, 2025, the company's mission has been to bring people together around games. The current CEO has expressed gratitude for the experience relationship built with leading Discord and acknowledges that he basically wanted to get himself out of the job and find somebody new so they could eventually go public. The whole thing is to go public, to get on the stock market and hopefully to raise more capital that way so you could either hire more people, do better features, I don't know, have your own little AI there, because AI is everywhere now. It's kind of like RGB, but for like the world. Because RGB was like usually just keyboard and mice for a while, and then it's like, hey, let's make everything RGB. And everybody's like, yay. At least I was, because I was like, I don't need everything RGB. I just need everything to work. And I agree that lighting your keyboard is very, very important, especially if you work with no lights on. But beyond that, I don't really see very much. But Discord's cool, I guess. It It's all right. It's better way of actually communicating with your friends than actually using the games or some games on voice chat, because you'll be recorded and it's like, all right, I'll go over to Discord and you will never hear me. That's what it's gone down to. All right, moving on to Razer, and Razer is introducing two mice, the ProClick V2 and the ProClick V2 Vertical Edition. The Vertical Edition is Razer's first vertical mouse design. The ProClick V2 is priced at $99 and the Vertical Edition is priced at $120. Both mice feature ergonomic designs focused on productivity rather than gaming, even though it's very Razer-esque type of design this time around. They include features such as programmable buttons, Razer Chroma capabilities, and an AI prompt master for quick access to ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot. The standard ProClick V2 has a 30-degree tilted angle, rubberized side grips, and extended thumb rest and a free-spinning tiltable scroll wheel. The Vertical Edition has a 71.7 degree angle, a large cutout for thumb grip, and extended base to reduce wrist strain. The new version V2 versions replace the original ProClick design in collaboration with HumanScale. The original model had a white and gray design, while the V2 models have a typical Razer game aesthetic. Razer is selling both mice through its online and physical stores, with a Vertical Edition also available at authorized resellers. Yeah, I did look at it. Yeah, it's very gamer-esque, which is funny. It's supposed to be for productivity, and it's like black with RGB. I'm like, yeah, that's not for just normal people. That's for gamers with productivity. Look, I'm not all in favor of it, but like I said, RGB is a little too much sometimes. Sometimes you just don't need all that stuff. I mean, I picked up a Corsair mouse with no RGB, and it's great because it lasts longer. Because actually putting on lights on everything makes the battery die a lot quicker, depending on what you do with it. So, I mean, you can turn it off, fine. But, I mean, sometimes if it's just productivity, just leave the lights off. You don't need them. You really don't. But we'll see. All right, moving on to Elder Scrolls. Yes, Oblivion Remastered was shadow dropped a few days ago. And, well, it's causing a few ripple effects. First of all, they were like, we're trying to keep the, basically the what made Oblivion Oblivion still there. But we'll take off male and female and put body type A and body type B. I mean, come on, guys. Leave the male and female there too. It has nothing to do with offensive. It is an It is a truth. We have to get to that. Your sex. I'm not going to say biological sex because that equates to that there's non-biological sex. Your sex is what dictates everything about you. So it should not be really that offensive to put your sex there. Male or female, not body type A, body type B. We're not interchangeable. This is a imperative truth. You cannot get around it. So stop it. Luckily, there are mods. And unfortunately, well, actually, if I did this a few days ago, unfortunately, the next mod took it off. But it looks like they put it back on because there's so much backlash about it. Because it's like, dude, it's a single-player game. You should not be banning things because it doesn't hurt anybody. It's a single-player game. Most gamers want male or female because it's true. This should not be controversial, but it is because crazy people. If you disagree with that, you are crazy. Get help or go touch grass or go for a hike or just look at nature. I don't know why this is so controversial. Like, this is a non-starter. But there's also other implications because of the shadow drop. It could hurt indie games because indie games don't have enough money to push out a lot more ads for that. But look, it's going to be one blip. People are going to enjoy it. People are going to play it for a while, and then you can get back to it. Like I said, it was a one blip of excitement. I'm excited for it. I had to get it because it's Oblivion. It's an old school Bethesda game that's actually good, unlike Starfield. They actually, you know, took their time, made some good quests, didn't have thousands of planets that were just basically the same thing over and over again. There's one planet, and it's pretty good. Is Morrowind better? Yeah. Still a good game, though. I mean, why not have, you know, Patrick Stewart as the voice of the old king? I mean, who wouldn't want that? All right, moving on to RoboCop Rogue City. Unfinished Business is going to be released on July 17th, 2025. This expansion continues the story of RoboCop Rogue City, but players do not need to have played the original game to enjoy it. That's nice. The plot involves OCP working on a project called Omni Tower, which is a housing complex for residents evicted from Delta City Development. A group of mercenaries attacks the Metro West precinct, stealing components from RoboCop's medical chair, with their next target being the Omni Tower. The Omni Tower is described as a potential power source that could give the mercenaries access to OCP technology, including RoboCop. Players will encounter enemies, traps, bullets as they navigate the tower. The expansion features flashback sequence, allow players to control characters, including RoboCop, Alex Murphy, and former OCP scientist Miranda Hale. The original RoboCop City is included in this month's PlayStation Plus, and it's a good game. I don't care what any of the others. It's a good game. It's actually a solid, good game for RoboCop and for a first-person shooter. It's single player, which I don't mind, but it's a solid game. It will be fun, and if you haven't played it, please enjoy it because it's good. So, another thing looking forward to it. I haven't seen any prices on this, but I'm matching it between $20 to $30, maybe $40, if that. Luckily, it's not being Nintendo and doing, hey, this is $80. Yeah. Heck, even Oblivion is $50 for the deluxe edition. And you can get it for Greenwood Gaming for a little bit less if you need to. But seriously, I mean, we don't need higher prices on digital games now. Remember when the talking point was, if we have digital games, it won't be as expensive. And it's like, yeah, that didn't really work out for you guys because it is still expensive. It's even more expensive now because you just grew the teams that you didn't really need to grow. I feel like sometimes people just hire people to hire people without really knowing if they actually need them or not. And then you get bloated teams that make terrible games. Speaking of games, Polish developer 11-Bit Studios announces a new title, Frostpunk 1886, which is a reimagining of the original Frostpunk game. The game is being developed using Unreal Engine 5 technology, is slated for release at some point in 2027. The game will feature improved visuals and include new content, mechanics, events, technologies, and buildings. An entirely new purpose path will be introduced in addition to the existing Faith and Order paths. The transition from the original game's proprietary Liquid Engine to Unreal 5 will enable mod support. Ooh. Yeah, the first two games are actually pretty good. I think Frostpunk 2 is still in early access, which is weird that they're actually doing an additional one unless they have more people to move it over there. But Frostpunk was good. Frostpunk 2 is actually really good as well. And this one should be interesting to see what they do with it as well. If you like strategy games, this is actually a very unique one that I think that is well worth your time. If you enjoy strategy games, if you do not, well, obviously it's not going to be well worth your time, but I've enjoyed it. All right, moving on to Lords of the Fallen 2.0. So it looks like it's getting rave reviews from gamers because, well, it actually has beautiful female bodies, not like the other games where you can make ugly if you wanted to, but at least they have beautiful looking ones. They actually listened to their customers, and guess what? It was more played than Assassin's Creed Shadows. Yeah, I'm still never believing it was the number one game in March 2025. I'm sorry. You don't give me numbers. You just tell me to trust you. I'm not going to do it. Give me the numbers. Give us the numbers. But you won't, because it's easier just to say, trust me, it was the number one selling game. I'm like, no. But I'm glad. I'm glad Lords of the Fallen 2.0 is better at launch, is being well received, because I think it's actually a really good game with a really good art design, and it should be celebrated for that. We need more games like this and more developers that go, you know what? I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to back the customers that I know are going to like this because I'll be rewarded for it. Not like, oh, screw you, misogynists. We're going to do it this way. And so like our game. And it's like, no, and we will not buy your game. And they're like, how dare you, racist and misogynist, for not liking our game? I'm like, all right, if you're going to keep on calling me names, no matter what I'm going to do, I'm still not going to buy your game, but screw you as well. Because really, telling people what to do and then name calling them is not the best way of making a sale. It's a good way of not making a sale and then them never, ever buying from you again. Just how it is. All right, moving on. So here's the thing. And I've said this time and time ago, but I feel like I need to reiterate this. If you're in the gaming industry, your target audience is most likely mostly male. It's not even up to discussion. The reason being is because most games follow the hero journey, as you're the unknown hero or you're a well-known hero, no matter what, and you're trying to save the day. Guess who that appeals to more often than not? Men. Because men always have the idea of if they want to go, they want to go in a blaze of glory, or they want to go saving their family or their wife or their girlfriend or their kids, saving them, being left behind while you go and flourish, live on. And this is not unknown to guys. Really, for a lot of women, it is, because you have the opposite side. And obviously men and women are different. If that offends you, well, apparently you're just offended at life. But this is the moral imperative. Your target audience is more than likely male. So appeal to the male audience. Don't give me feminist stupidity. Don't give me girl bosses. I do not care anymore. It is tired and it's old and we don't like it at all. We want to be the ones that's the knight that saves the chick, not the one going, I don't need a man, and be like, all right, well, I'm not going to play this game anymore. I don't need to be yelled at in real life. I don't need to be yelled at in the digital life too. So most games, and that's why I say most, because not every game is. There's some games that appeal to women, and that's fine. But most games that do have a hero are going to appeal to men. So, might be good to actually have a male character most of the time. Now, you could do a character creator. I don't really care. And you can have male or female, not body type A, body type B. Please stop. But appeal to that. That will make you sales. This is why Doom the Dark Ages is very highly anticipated, because they understand it's a male audience. This is why Baldur's Gate 3 is doing very well. Why Oblivion, besides the stupid body type A, body type B, but there are mods for it. And you can get the mods. I like it because it knew there was a male and female. And you could play a female if you wanted to. Nothing about it. But for the most part, feminism is not going to work anymore. No guy likes it. Unless you're pretending to be a male feminist, and then I would say, please stop, because you don't really believe it. You just want to sleep with a girl that I'm a feminist. So am I. No, you're not. No guy really believes it. We just like the girl that is a feminist. We're like, all right, this helps me sleep with you, then I'll believe it. And then it actually never happens because you get friend zoned, and then, well, anger ensues. So I'm begging you, either hire male PR people, male marketers that understand it, or hire competent female ones that understand that their target audience is males and they don't hate males, which is highly unlikely because they probably went to school and school will tell them to hate males. I'm begging you, developers, understand the moral truth about this. Most men like to be the hero. Most men want to save the princess. It's why games from the start have been mostly directed towards males. Even Nintendo way back when was like, how do we market this? We probably should market this towards males. And guess what? You guys flourished because of it. Not because you were inclusive, because inclusive means you're exclusive to something. And it's usually white males, to be honest with you. And white males were really tired of it. Like, we're not going to buy your game. That's why Concord failed. That's why Marathon will probably fail. And you might as well just get the Marathon Classics, because they're really great games on free. They're free on Steam. Don't give us weird art designs. Unless it's like gothic and there's like the beauty in like the dark gothic, that's fine. But it's like these weird, like dystopian, like tech stuff that looks ugly. We don't want that. We like looking at pretty things. That's why we like girls. Most women are pretty, pretty. So for the love of God, understand feminism and creating a hero's journey, don't mix. Hating on men because that's your target audience won't make you successful. You actually make a product for the majority of your customer base. So understand this. We want male and female back. We want the hero's journey. We don't want to be lectured to on why we should buy the game, because we don't want to be misogynist and toxic masculinity or anything, because Doom the Dark Ages is toxic masculinity to feminists, but it's actually regular healthy masculinity, because toxic masculinity is being effeminate males. That's what toxic masculinity is. When we have real masculinity, it's not toxic. Deal with it. Deal with you're in an industry that is majority males, and deal that feminism doesn't work anymore. We don't like it. We're not going to buy your games anymore. We are taking a stand. And if you don't listen to us, you're going to feel the pain. Your game will fail. Your sales will be lackluster. And half of your team will be gone. If not all of the developer will be gone. If we have to do this harsh lesson for you all, we will do it, and we will continue to do it, and we'll play Schedule 1 instead, because I don't know why, but being a drug dealer is actually somewhat fun in Schedule 1, because it's a little hilarious and it has a fun gameplay loop, and it's not that expensive, and it's made by one guy that knows his audience. You want to be successful? Know your audience? Make it for your audience. If you don't want to be successful, do what you've been doing, because that's working so well for you right now. All right. So anyways, thank you for listening to Digital Coffee Gaming Brew. Really do appreciate it. And join me next week to talk about what's going on in the gaming industry.